evening. I declare this ordinary meeting of the Alice Springs Town Council open for the transaction of business as set out on the agenda. Welcome councillors and officers of council and members of the media and public present. Firstly, I'd like to acknowledge the Central Arrernte people who are the traditional owners and custodians of Alice Springs, and a reminder to all members that this meeting is being recorded and will be placed on the council's website. So to start the evening, I'd ask you all to stand, and I'd ask Jamie Tasker, Pastor Jamie Tasker, to present the prayers to precede our discussions this evening. Thanks.
Give you thanks that we're able to gather here tonight. Lord, I just pray, God, that you'd be evident here in amongst each person, Father. Lord, I pray your peace here this evening, Father. Lord, with all the decisions that need to take place, I just pray that your peace will be here upon each person and corporately, Father. Lord, may your blessings also be upon each person, Father, and upon this meeting, I pray, God. Father, I pray your blessing upon their families, all our councillors' families, Lord, and upon the council as a whole, Lord. We give you thanks for the dedication, the sacrifice that our councillors, our council play in our great town of Alice Springs, God. Father, I pray for a great sense of unity here as well, Lord, and with the decisions that are made. And Father, I also ask as well that for wisdom to be present, Lord, upon each person, God. Lord, may everything that's said here tonight be glorifying and edifying for you, Father. So I just give you thanks for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Please be seated. Well, Mr. Acting CEO, do we have any apologies?
Yes, we do, Your Worship. We have the Deputy Mayor Martin and Councillor Douglas who are on personal leave. We have Councillor Booth and the officers, CEO Rex Mooney and the Director of Corporate and Community Services, Greg Buxton. They are all on annual leave.
I think you've just given your department away. Thank you. No, Greg's Tech Services.
What did I say?
Your job. Oh. Corporate community.
Yes. No, it's a coup. We're taking over.
Thank you. Do any councillors wish to disclose an interest with regard to any matter on the agenda pursuant to Section 70 of the Local Government Act 2008? In accordance with Section 67(3) of the Local Government Act 2008, I present the minutes of our ordinary council meeting held on Monday the 27th of May for confirmation. May I have a councillor who was present move the confirmation of these minutes? Councillor Brown. May I have a seconder, please? Councillor Melky. All those in favour? Any against? Are there any matters arising from those minutes which are not otherwise dealt with by committees? Okay, thank you. May I present my report for the month of June? I ask for a motion the report be received. Move Councillor Paik, seconded Councillor Heenan. I just have a few things to add in relation to my report, just following on from a trip to Canberra last week in relation to the local government Association's annual meeting. I'd like to speak to members this evening about the importance of the referendum. It was recorded, it's been noted that Minister Albanese provided $10 million towards the Yes case. Just a brief outline, the referendum has been pushed very extensively over the last 6 years by the Australian Local Government Association through the previous presidents, and it's a desire that's been there for some time. It got more important after the Williams and or the Pape and the Williams case, the challenges in the High Court, and the concerns of where we go in the future with roads to recovery. One of the stipulations of the Local Government, the Australian Local Government Association, was that it'd be bipartisan support within the Parliament of Australia. We wouldn't be interested in going ahead if it wasn't. The result was there were 133 yeses and two noes when it went to the House of Reps. I believe today it was to go through the Senate. heard at this stage whether it isn't, but it's on the papers for this week. That's the next step. There had been a recommendation from the special committee set up by the government, which had members of all parties involved in, who researched this referendum question a year ago, that the funding by the federal government be allocated in line with how the vote in the House of Reps went. So I think Minister Albanese was pretty generous when he gave $500,000 to the two no votes. The Local Government Association of Australia has put up $10 million, and the federal government's put up $10 million. This event will happen on September 14th in conjunction with a federal election if it continues on that date. That's the only other rider there. I really call on all elected members to support this process as we go through to the election and actually assist on September 14th in handing out how to vote cards. We've employed, Local Government Association Australia's employed a man called Digby Nancarro to run our case. This man ran the no case in the Republic versus the Monarchy and was successful. He's come on board. He's in a briefing to the Local Government Association meeting in Canberra last week. He pointed out that his research shows that more than 30% of the vote will be decided on the day of the vote. We will need to have representatives at all polling booths. The way this works for the referendum to be successful, and since 1906, I think there's been 44 referendums, only 8 have ever been successful. It needs more than half the states, so it needs 4 of the 6 states, and it needs the majority of Australians. So within the territory, we effectively only have one vote in this, and that's in the population count. We're not recognised otherwise. A very brief overview is that the yes vote will simply make sure what is happening now continues. There is no guarantee outside of that. This funding, federal funding, has been going on for over 10 years from both sides of politics. It is under threat if a challenge is made. That's why this process is. This is to recognise local government bodies formed by or under the law of a state or territory. It's a change in 96. It's no impingement on states or territories' powers or controls. They're still all the same, will operate underneath the Local Government Act. I'd have to say clearly that the no vote will cause a lot of concern in our community, because the no vote would suggest no to local roads to recovery, no to local infrastructure, and most definitely increased rates into the future. So we'll be talking with all of you in the future. I have got some booklets on it and so forth I'm willing to share later. That was just to fill it out. It was a very interesting evening last Sunday evening, I think it was, when Minister Albanese and the Shadow Minister Barnaby Joyce were on stage together in Canberra. There were a lot of media who snapped that photo. Probably the only time the two of them have been in agreement on something during the last term of this current government. We had representations from Senator Milne, representative of the Greens, who fully supports the referendum. We had representation at our meeting from Warren Truss, the Nationals leader, fully supportive of it. We had representation from Barnaby Joyce. We also had representation from Minister Albanese, and also we had a small session with the Prime Minister, all of those people supporting the referendum. So I just wanted to give you a brief overview on that. And I'm open to any questions on that if I can help. But apart from that, I've had somebody move my report, yes. So those in favour of accepting my report for the month, thank you. Any against? Now, are there any questions arising from that report that I may be able to help with?
Mr. Mayor, yeah.
Certainly.
1.18 is the first one.
1.18?
Okay. Hang on. Outback Highway.
My question was
with the meeting you had there, was any approach to the shires and both sides of government to any promises for the election that might help fund this at all? Is it?
Okay. I'll just go to that report. Okay,
1.8.
Okay,
yeah.
Outback Highway Development Council meeting.
Oh, yeah.
That's our normal monthly meeting that myself and the Deputy Mayor attend. The Outback Highway Development Council have put in for a Regional Development Australia application. That hasn't been announced whether it's successful or not successful at this stage. There was a lot of excitement amongst the Outback Highway Development Council in the last few days with discussions with the opposition who see that highway as part of their North Australia plans. So outside of that, we just keep chipping away. Queensland have added a little bit more work on their highway in the last year. Western Australia have added a bit more. The Territory Government made a point that some of their funding that was cut was intended for that out near the Hart's Range site. So I haven't got any more than that,
okay.
Councillor Heenan.
Okay, thank you. And the other one is 1.23 with Mr. Kim Davis, Regional Director.
Yep, certainly. Meet with him fairly regularly. Few discussions around on that one. It was around the upcoming cricket tournament here in Alice Springs and the relationship between NTG and the council as to whose responsibilities are what. So that's an ongoing feast at the moment.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the 1.28.
Yes, certainly. Regional Capitals Australia is a group that's headed up by Mayor of Wodonga, Mark Bryant. We've been a member of this council for the last, of this group for the last year. Their process is they're feeling that Regional Capitals, and the reason Alice Springs was invited into that, Palmerston is also, and the other territory council that's involved with it, is more strategic location. And this fitted very well with what both the Minister, Catherine King, spoke and the Shadow Minister, Bob Baldwin, who spoke on at that breakfast. They both have big interest in regional capitals. Regional capitals are seen as a way of removing the stress of population off the major capitals and to ensure that there's infrastructure spending in those areas. There is a task force paper coming out from them, which I'll forward on to you when I receive that. And because Councillor Heenan was in Canberra with me at the time and the CEO, we all attended. Maybe Councillor Heenan's got some comments from that meeting.
No, that's about all. It is, Speaker, right at the end. Get everybody, to do this, or to be involved in it, which is very, very important. But I've got nothing more to add.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So I might go around the room and invite councillors to anything they'd like to report on activities for June. I'll start with Councillor Paik.
I suppose in the last month I have met with some community members in relation to the mall. I went down to the Todmore Markets and I suppose just talked to a few people around their thoughts and access to the mall. I attended a NAIDOC committee meeting for this year's NAIDOC events, procedures, celebrations, to determine what they were doing this year. And they've only just since found out their funding requirements from FACSIA, so it has been a little bit delayed. I did meet with some members from the Alice Springs Art Foundation just around the work that we're going to be doing there. I'm on that committee. So just working out a bit of a structure for that. I attended a collective impact meeting with Desert Knowledge Australia. I attended the Beanie Festival and had taken or facilitated a few calls from some community members in relation to a few queries which needed to be addressed. And that's all.
Can I just ask you, do you know off the top of your head the dates for the NAIDOC celebrations?
The NAIDOC celebrations will be in line with the national dates. I think it could be the 13th of July to the 16th. I'd need to have a look on what's on the website. It'll be in line with the national week.
Have we had any requests this year, Mr. Acting CEO?
Not to my knowledge, Your Worship.
Okay. Thank you. All right, Councillor Melky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the 2nd of June, I attended the Anglican Church. I accepted the Anglican Church's invitation to attend the Queen to celebrate the Queen's 60th anniversary of her coronation. And on the 4th, I accepted and attended an invitation by the NT School Sports to help assist with a sports day, the running of the sports day on the Hetstred Oval, which went pretty much all day. On the 5th, I was invited to present to make a presentation to the volleyball grand finalist winners at CDU, and did that. And that was good fun. Big barbecue and everything else. So that was good for the Volleyball Association to put that on. The 6th, I attended a builders meeting along with Councillor Brown in relation to the insurance schemes that's affecting the builders of Northern Territory. And we listened to speakers from the top end, from down in Victoria, from all range, from government officials, and that was quite interesting to hear all sides of the story. I attended a meeting with the mall opening discussion and also attended all my meetings that I'm on. That's the Public Arts Advisory Committee, the Sports Facilities. It's actually coming up Thursday, sorry, so I will be attending that, I beg your pardon. But I also had the opportunity to go along as the delegate to Tourism Central Australia on the executive meeting in the absence of the mayor, and I found that quite interesting. That was a three-hour meeting, and very, very interesting stuff that's discussed there. Exciting, to say the least, really, in relation to how the promotion and the local area will be promoted through the eyes of Tourism Central Australia and the effort that's going to go there. The TIO launch was last week, and that was great to be a part of, and the Mayor made an announcement there in relation to the funding and the expenses. I got caught in a bit of a hard place there, where as the Mayor was making the announcement, one of my fellow Sports Facilities Advisory Committee members went, thinking that the money was going to go back to the committee, and thought, that's going to be great for us to have a discussion where we're going to spend the money. But of course, when the announcement was made that it's going towards the public address system, or the announcement, what will that be called, the sound system, he was a little smile came on his face, and he thought, we're not going to spend any of that money. No, I don't think so. I also had the pleasure of attending a 3-on-3 basketball event. In the absence of the mayor, I gave a little talk and welcomed everybody. That was a great initiative by a national organisation. I think they're called Deadly Vibes, or Australian Vibes. And that was fascinating, to say the least, where they used basketball as part of it, but there was also hip-hop, dance, art, just music. And it was just good that they had so many different groups that were going to be part of it. There were so many young children, school children, school-age children attending, and just a huge support to that event. And some well-known Indigenous artists who were emceeing, and also Jacinta Price gave out a tune. She just, without music, without backup, just sang a song, one of her latest songs, and she was just awesome to listen to, actually. And the kids were just well-behaved. They sat there and listened to all of the funny bits that came through the MC and the music, and there was a couple who performed a gymnastics type of routine. Pulled a hamstring along the way. That was unfortunate. It was cold. Should have warmed up the poor fella. But all in all, it was great to represent yourself, Mr. Mayor, and the council, and I thought the event was excellent for the town. Other than that, I need to sort of declare that I think one of the committees that I'm on is no longer functioning, so that's the Water Advisory Committee, I think it's called, the Alice Springs Water Smart Group. So I think that's kind of come to its conclusion. So in light that we've... I think that's that committee, my role there ceases, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. So have they advised you that that's completed?
I guess they've come to... I think on Friday, last Friday, the Water Smart Group just finished their term, and they had a bit of a celebration about that. I wasn't here, but I think that's finished that project. So I guess with that, it's dissolved. The advice that I've received is that as a group, you know, they came together and celebrated the end of the project. I assume that's the end of it.
Okay. Thank you. And thanks, Councillor Melky. I'm sorry, I have in my notes that Councillor Kudrenko was representing me at the Vibe 3-on-3. Have I made a mistake?
I did actually attend the launch, but was unable to make it on the following day. Where the 450 students were there.
Oh, okay. Yep. Thank you.
But I was there for the launch on Tuesday night.
Councillor Melky, that I didn't have the correct in here as well.
I actually have your gift. I'm sorry I didn't bring it tonight. They gave a message stick as part of the gift to all of the locals, and because it's about communication, and message stick obviously represents the way that communication was done in those times. So I do have your gift. I promise I won't keep it.
Thanks, Councillor Melky. Sorry, Councillor Kudrenko, I'll move on to yours.
Yeah, well, that was one that I attended, the Vibe 3-on-3 launch on Tuesday night before the event. And I must agree with Councillor Melky, it was absolutely outstanding event, 450 young people involved from schools across Alice Springs. And they received training and support in really fun activities, basketball, hip-hop and art. But the purpose was to link up with really good role models and to talk about staying in school and to have those educational outcomes as well. Excellent event, and from what I understand was pulled together in a very short time frame by local people in Alice Springs working with the committee in Sydney. So yeah, I think there's a lot of people in Alice who made that work. It's really good to be a part of it. And I also, as well as Councillor Melky, attended the mall opening meeting which Mayor Ryan called in the middle of the month. Aside from that, I was unable to make two commitments this month to the Red Hot Arts Board and to the Youth Advisory Group meeting, just because my childcare arrangements at home have changed and should be resolved by next month, so I should be back on board with all my normal meetings.
Thanks very much, Councillor Kudrenko. Councillor Heenan?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. We went to the Tide Mall revitalisation with Lyndon, with Kat, with the members of the committee for the revitalisation. Attended a Rotary. We did a Rotary barbecue. We did a Rotary breakfast barbecue for Qantas for the Telegraph Station. DCA meeting. Went to Canberra with the mayor and CEO for the ALGA meetings. Binny Festival, and that's a sponsor. The TIO naming rights launch at Traeger Park, which is great. Stuart Rotary changeover dinner. Went to the RDA to do a working bee for the next after the show. Anti Thunder game at Traeger Park, and normal council meetings with the sports facilities, tourism events committee, and public art advisory committee. That's it, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I have the usual round of council meetings, public arts, youth advisory, the seniors, which I think cancelled. Well, the last one was cancelled, allowing to the not enough there to follow through on. The mall committee, sports advisory. I was also involved in the lobbying for the builders' insurance scheme, which I'm very pleased to say that we were successful in lobbying the minister to have a look at the scheme again and announce an inquiry into it, which I think is a very good outcome for people of Alice Springs. I don't think a lot of people understand just how dangerous the scheme was that had been brought in, and this is a chance to right a pretty grave wrong. I've continued on with some visits to the mall, which we'll have some discussions on later. I attended a youth meeting for Alice Pride, youth and integration into the community, desert knowledge, and a bit of media work in relation to water allocation and numerous other subjects, and my normal rounds of political lobbying, which I won't announce in here. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Councillor Brown. Seems like everybody had a busy month, as usual. Now, are there any orders of the day?
There are none, Your Worship.
Okay. Are there any deputations or petitions, Mr. Acting CEO?
There are none of those either, Your Worship.
Any memorials?
No memorials, Your Worship.
Any notice of motions?
And we have no motions on notice, Your Worship.
Thank you very much. Now going to move on to committee meetings, and I'm going to call on the different chairs to deliver their reports of their committee meetings held on 11th of June, and I'll start with the Finance Committee Chair, Councillor Heenan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your Worship, I present the report of the Finance Committee held on the 11th of May. Invite members to withdraw any items they wish so debated separately. Following this, I intend to move in terms of the recommendations not so withdrawn. June.
Okay. None withdrawn. You like to move item one? Moved by Councillor Heenan, seconded by Councillor Paik. Those in favour? Any against? No, thank you.
This includes my report, Your Worship.
Thanks very much. And I'll present the corporate and community as Councillor Douglas, the Chair, is away this evening. So, again, I ask members to withdraw anything that they would like discussed, otherwise I'm going to move through and move them. So, Councillor Kudrenko.
Item two.
Sorry?
Item two.
Yep, certainly. Councillor Heenan?
Sorry.
Okay. I can't see you. Got any, Councillor Paik?
No.
Okay, then. Well, then I propose to move 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I have a seconder, please. Councillor Paik, those in favour? Any against? Thank you. I go to item two then, Councillor Kudrenko.
Just following up the query that I had, which is noted in the minutes regarding the trip hazards, and the director was going to follow that up. So I'm just wondering if there's any further update.
Yeah, if I can just I met with our manager, Mr. Frierson, on Sunday in the mall, and he explained to me those two areas where the bricks are raised, either side a metre wide will be levelled down for prams, but apart from that, the rest of those will stay up. So as this shows a definition of a noise factor in your car, but for when there are markets, you could still move a pram or a trolley over both those, whether it be the one in Todd Street or the one in Parsons Street.
Fantastic.
So is that's the query that
yep,
you
yep, that's good news. Okay. Thank you.
The other part of that was with regards to access when there are stalls on the pavement. That has been communicated to the projects officer, to Fran Stoops, and she'll be investigating to see the issues and how they can be ameliorated.
Protocols. Thank you.
Okay, then. All right. If that answers that, I'll move to. Can I have a seconder? Councillor Kudrenko? Those in favour? Any against? Thank you. That concludes the report for corporate and community services. On to technical services and call on the chair, Councillor Brown.
Okay, Your Worship, I present the report of Technical Service Committee held on the 11th of June and invite members to withdraw any items they wish to debate separately. Following this, I intend to move in terms of the recommendation not so withdrawn.
Thank you. Councillor Kudrenko?
Item three?
Item three, certainly.
Yep, that's all, thanks.
Any others? No? I'll get you to move the others then, Councillor Brown.
how many can
three there? Has been removed, so if we get you to move everything else.
How many is there?
I'm sorry, can I also withdraw item eight?
Eight, certainly.
Technical services.
And 11. Sorry, and 11. I just missed my notes there. I'm sorry.
That's all right. No problem at all. So I'll get Councillor Brown to move 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10. And that's it. He's going to move those.
Your Worship, I move in terms of items numbers 1, 2, 4, 6, 7, 9 and 10.
Thank you. Have a seconder for those, please. Councillor Melky, those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Go to item 3, please, Councillor Kudrenko.
Regarding item three, I'm wondering if there's any update, and perhaps this can go to the acting director or perhaps even Councillor Heenan, who was at the DCA meeting. I'd like to know if the letters to the minister...
No, they won't go until tonight's decision.
Right.
So,
very good.
So with that decision tonight, if it's supported,
yep.
The letters will be done tomorrow and then they'll go off.
So they haven't been sent?
No, because we've got to have...
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's a bit bit of a shame because there's been a DCA meeting between now and then, hasn't there? So we've missed that opportunity in between. I'm just wondering, at the DCA meeting, if there was anyone from council there that was able to speak on behalf of council in regards to our objections to those telecommunication towers?
Couldn't answer that one, Acting Director.
Through the Chair, I was there with the Manager for Development, and we've actually put an objection into the Telstra Towers, and Telstra had a person speaking on their behalf. And basically, they explained the reason for the locations, and other people put submissions into for objections. But I think the authority themselves have very little power to stop Telstra in doing what they're doing, because I spoke to the regional director Ray Smith about the Telstra towers, and it's just Telstra themselves don't have to go through the authority at all. They just do it as a I can't really say what it is, but they don't have to go through the NT planning scheme at all, but they just do it as a courtesy to put the towers. But the chap from Telstra did explain why they sort of look to those locations, and basically the locations within, I suppose, depends what objects are in the way, but within, say maybe 50 to 100 metres in that area, that you get a good coverage for the towers. And basically, what they were saying, as those towers get used more and more, the actual quality of the signals drops. So as people use more and more technology, that's why they need to install towers. And they don't do it for any other reason, just to give, to make sure that there is good coverage for their for the Telstra network.
Okay, well, that's a good update in itself, and just reinforces my feeling that we do need to write to the Minister and also the Chair of the Planning Commission then. So thank you for that update.
Certainly.
I'm happy to...
Is that clear, number three, for you?
Yeah, I'm happy to second that one now.
I'll move on to eight.
Eight is in regards to the Ross Park soccer fence, which is a 1.8-metre high chain mesh fence that will go along Winnakey on the soccer field there. And I'm just wondering to the Director if there's been community consultation in that area regarding the fence.
Through the Chair, I think we haven't done anything as a present, but I think if we get the authority to do the fence, I think part of that is that we do the community consultation before we actually put the fence up. So we'll probably do a letter drop of, say, 100 houses within that facility. We just normally do and just do a letter drop and see what the feedback is.
As a matter of process, I think community consultation after we've passed a motion to install a fence is defeating the purpose of community consultation. So I would like to suggest to the other councillors that perhaps we can change this motion, the wording at least. If this is what is the advice from SVAC, that's fantastic, but what I'd like to see before approving it is some information from the officers regarding that community consultation before I'd be comfortable in passing this motion.
Certainly, Councillor Kudrenko, then we would have to vote it down and then you put up a separate resolution. Is that correct? That's happy? Okay. So before we do that, could we get a show of hands on number eight, those in support of Councillor Kudrenko's suggestion that we do the community consultation on that before we just go out and spend the money? Those in favour? Yeah, okay then. Well, Councillor Heenan?
If I can say something, at the sports facility, it was a the reason why this fence was put there is a safety issue, because kids are kicking the ball and running onto the road, and this is why that motion was put up at the sports facility, that we need something there to stop the soccer balls going on, being kicked onto the road, and it's a safety issue. And it needs to be about that high because you can't have a 1 metre fence in case the ball goes over the fence as well. So this is the reason why that was put up. And also at the meeting, I think it was the mayor's suggestion too as well, that we go and do a letter drop in that whole suburb there as well, just letting people know what the issues are. And the main thing is this fence, for the fence line, for the fence to be put up there, is a safety issue because stop kids running onto the road chasing the soccer balls. So whether that changes, your thinking on that, but that's a safety issue.
May I respond to that?
Certainly.
Just quickly. Can I just add something before.
If you look further up in the report, the original report was one of those tubular fence security fences. At the meeting, it was decided vigorously to go to the chain mesh and look for the coloured chain mesh, mm-hmm. i.e. the green. So it's not stand out so as much as the fence that we have around the schools.
Mm-hmm.
So just pointing that out. I do agree with you about let's get the consultation done and then do it. But now, sorry for interrupting. I'll let you respond to Councillor Heenan.
I appreciate that information regarding where it came from at the meeting. I've spent many an afternoon down at soccer. My son played soccer for a couple of seasons. So I've been down there and I can see the hazards and I appreciate that it is important. It needs to be addressed. Although I still think that we need to talk to the local residents there, and I think we should maybe also talk to the Soccer Association too to get their feeling more broadly amongst soccer players and soccer families of what needs to be done there, and there may actually be some better ideas and solutions on how to resolve that risk. So I would just like to hear that first before approving this motion.
Thanks. Accept that, Councillor Kudrenko. It is a bit of the cart before the horse. It does recognise we need to do the letterbox drop, but tonight we'd just be moving it. So I support you in voting that down or deferring it, and let's put in the recommendation that you suggest now, which is probably the one above, which is the actions.
Yes, yeah, if we could just say, do you need the wording or...?
Have you got that there, Jessica? Technical services, yep. To letterbox drop, Winnicky Avenue residents, Ross Park School, netball, soccer, vehicles using Ross Park. I don't know how you letterbox them, but I suppose under windscreen. On the weekend, as well as the surrounding neighbourhood, letters to include a sketch of the area highlighting the fence. And then if we can have that report come back to council, then instead of just defeating this, if we just deferred this decision.
Much appreciated. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll just put that one up to the vote now, and can I do it in one hit, defer and move the new one? Is that okay? All right. So, Councillor Kudrenko, I'll ask Councillor Brown, as it's his department, would you move what's been suggested by Councillor Kudrenko?
Yes, I would. So I'm moving, I presume, to defer as well as the motion that's put by Councillor Kudrenko.
Yeah.
Technical services to the letterbox drop for Winnicky Avenue resident. Oh, okay. Also, I'll have a show of hands in favour of movement to defer. Second. Do I require a second to move that motion? Someone's going to move that motion for a start off.
Councillor Brown to move 3.
Your worship, I move in terms of item number 3.
Seconder, please, Councillor Kudrenko. Those in favour? Thank you. And now we'll move on to 11, which is Councillor Kudrenko.
Before being able to vote in favour of this resolution, I'm interested to know what is the freestanding structure that is to be installed at basketball.
Thank you.
Normally for these kind of things, in our papers, we would normally get a little map and a description of what it is rather than just the...
Didn't we in last month?
Was it in the committees and I missed it? Or?
I think it was. It's an awning at the front.
Through the chair. It's an awning. It was originally hopefully going to be an awning that was actually bolted to the building, but it seemed to pose too many difficulties as far as... Getting approval. So then we've gone to a freestanding little veranda in front.
Like in front of the where the entrance is?
Yes.
So people can wait there to be picked up?
Yeah, that's
or
the idea.
On a rainy day or a sunny
on a rainy day.
I mean, it's just such a square building with no front end. I'll just go to Councillor
Melfi. Yes, that's right. I agree with Councillor Brown. And the other further requirement was when it does rain, the water does actually flow through when the doors open, so it actually goes inside the basketball stadium, apparently. So that was one of the reasonings to protect against water coming inside the stadium. But that's right. So the difficulty was in relation to certification. And if you have a structure that is attached to the building, it creates complications, and this was a way to, and I think the technical service director at the time suggested that that's how it would be constructed, yet, but there would be no real gap between it and the building. So, yeah.
I will point out, Councillor Pedrenko, it's following confirmation that the Basketball Association agreed to the structure, mm-hmm. and if I just ask, that hasn't been done until this has moved, has it? No, okay. Thank you. Councillor Pedrenko.
Okay, yeah, no, thank you for that clarification, and it's good to hear that Basketball Association will have some say in it as well. I'd be happy to move that. Can I just take the opportunity to raise one other issue that's... Well, I just think hearing that this upgrade is happening there, I think it's been in my mind for some time that it is quite dangerous there at the basketball stadium at night. Lots of young people crossing from the car park on the opposite side of the road, and then lots of people illegally pulling up in front of the basketball stadium where the orange line is too. I witnessed it every single basketball night, and lots of young people. So I think I would like to raise that as something that needs to be discussed at our next committee meeting.
Certainly, Councillor Kudrenko, I would suggest you get your elected members to bring it up at SFAC and then come through to... Because if you look down here at this bottom one in this whole group, there's been a request for some lighting between basketball and tennis, because that's a dark area
also. Yes,
it
is, yeah.
So it may very well be that we've got to do something like that at the front or boost the lighting.
I would just think something like a drop-off zone.
Okay.
Which may, actually involve the roadworks in that area.
Well, then for that matter, I suggest you bring it up in general business committee meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Melfi?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I was just going to comment on Councillor Kudrenko's comments there. I was thinking also along the lines of traffic management plan. That is a traffic issue very much so, and support 100% what Councillor Kudrenko was saying. It certainly is a dangerous area. It's dark. Cars do speed through. It is after hours, so they're not required to slow down for school. People do illegally park, and I have to admit we do as well. As you do, and not when I say illegally park. You just do, don't you? Because you've got no other choice.
Noted, Councillor Melfi, the infringements in the mail.
Well, you know, that was really clever, wasn't it? How does that go again? Did you guys get that?
Please,
did you want me to repeat that again?
All the media?
What else do I illegally do?
I'm going to go back to Councillor Brown and get him to move number 11.
Your Worship, I move in terms of item 11.
Thank you. Seconded, Councillor Kudrenko. Those in favour? Thank you.
This now concludes my report.
Thanks very much, Councillor Brown. We move on to the CEO's report. The CEO has presented his report. I ask for a move and a second to receive the report. Move, Councillor Melfi. Seconded, Councillor Brown. Those in favour? Any against? Any questions arising from there? There's no decisions in this month that I see. Any questions? No? Okay. Now, going to move back to go through some of the directors. Director of Finance, you'd like to present your report 14.2.1.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, this is regarding the public comments on the municipal plan. There was one public comment received by the time the submissions ended, and it was from the Arid Lands Environment Council. They put forward a number of suggestions regarding various environmental issues, and the recommendation is that Council note the report and that the submission be forwarded to Council's Environment Advisory Committee and the new Environment Officer once the position is filled for actioning as appropriate.
Thank you, Mr. Director. Councillor Kudrenko.
Thank you, Director. Can these comments perhaps also be taken into consideration when developing the Environment Officer position description? I'm not saying that we have to go completely off what's written in this letter, but if that could be taken into consideration, I think would be a good start for that position.
Oh, of course. I mean, some are aspirational.
Absolutely.
And some are achievable.
Yep.
So,
because I think some of these things are aspirational, which aren't already noted in our strategic plan. So if we were to be aspirational with that position, it's nice to take those aspirational goals into consideration for the position rather than just basing them on our existing strategic plan.
Certainly. I follow that the recommendation, Council, note the report and that the submissions from ALEC be forwarded to the Environment Advisory Committee and new Environment Officer once appointed. So I think they pretty much follow those lines. And Director in Charge of Human Resources, that's yourself. So,
Mr. Mayor, just in relation to the Environment Officer, when will that likely appointment take place?
That operation will happen at the start of the next financial year, working with this new budget.
That's correct. The position description is being developed as we speak, and if the budget is passed with that position tonight, then we'll be looking at possibly starting to advertise in Friday's paper, but I need confirmation.
Councillor Paik?
Just, I suppose, following on in recognition of Councillor Kudrenko's comments made, I think it would be beneficial to have that stuff worked, put in the job description. I was really happy with the public comments, and also take this opportunity to thank Councillor Kudrenko for her efforts in helping build and work as a council to have an officer identified with the council.
Thank you, Councillor Paik. So I need somebody to move this recommendation. Councillor Paik seconded. Councillor Heenan, those in favour? Any against? Thank you. I move on to 14.2.2. Pretty straightforward. Recommendation to Council note the contents of the CEO's certificate of the assessment record and the Council adopt the Municipal Plan 2013-14 to 2016-17 as presented. Do you need to speak to that, Mr. Director?
Through the Chair, I've placed on your desk this evening just the final draft for adoption of the Municipal Plan. I made a few minor changes to the format of the report, particularly to highlight the Aquatic and Leisure Centre as a separate subsidiary. So I put that on page 27 just to highlight that fact. And in light of our discussions around the waste management facility operating at the tip shop at the waste management facility operating 7 days a week, just made some adjustments to the budgeted expenditure and income for that to offset each other. Just changes like that, but in essence, it's what we've discussed previously.
Thank you, Mr. Director. Have somebody move this item? Councillor Melky, somebody second it? Councillor Brown, those in favour? Any against? Thank you. I move on to the Declaration of Rates and Charges for 2013-14. It is recommended that items 1 to 9 in the attached Declaration of Rates and Charges be approved for the financial year ending 30th of June. Correct numbers? Sorry, I do need a slight change here. It needs to be 2014, pursuant to Part 11.5 of the Local Government Act 2008. Could I have somebody move that recommendation, please? Councillor Brown, seconded. Councillor Kudrenko, those in favour? Any against? Thank you. I'll now move on to questions without notice. These do not require a mover or a seconder. Councillor Melky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just in relation to the Wi-Fi in the mall, I'm to understand, or I've learnt from someone, and I'd like to confirm, that if you're in the mall, there is some restriction on the download ability when you're operating or utilising the Wi-Fi opportunity that's in the mall. Is that correct? So there is some time limit and capacity in terms of downloading what you can download, and then once you reach that, you've got to come back 24 hours later to reboot or re-access it.
Through your worship, that's correct. I believe it is a two-hour limit. So basically it's unlimited amount during that period, but 2 hours and then you are kicked off, and the software is such that it recognises your ISP and won't let you back on board until the 24-hour period has passed.
Okay.
Sorry, it might not be 24 hours. It might be the next calendar day, so all close right. At midnight.
So the reason behind that is obviously in relation to expense?
No. I think Darwin's is 45 minutes. Or an hour, they differ in all parts of the country.
It certainly is that attempt to limit the amount of download that is happening. We're having issues at the moment in the library with regards to our allocation of download, in that it is being used up at an enormous rate at the moment. And that is, we believe, due to people having various bits of software which tries to sync all their files, etc., with their storage on the cloud. And so every time they're just accessing their email, the system is, in fact, going up and down. So we actually are using up our 300 gig of download for the library within the first 10 to 12 days. So we're trying to figure out how we can work within this new technology. That is just basically, so even your average backpacker who's just checking his emails, the file sharing happening in the background is such that it's just killing the amount of download we have. So I'd assume that the limits in the mall are for the same reason, to try and attempt to limit the total cost of the system.
Mr. Mayor, can I follow up? I appreciate the challenges ahead for the library, and no doubt you'll find a solution for that. Probably my focus is on the promotion and the making available to as many people as possible to use the Wi-Fi for as long as possible. And that's what I would, I guess, like to see. I didn't know there was a time limit. So if you're there for a couple of hours and basically you can't load for another day, then what are we saying to that individual user? Are we saying go somewhere else? Wouldn't it be a benefit for us to put people in the mall for as long as possible, as often as possible, that's what we're attempting to do up the other end with traffic introduction, etc. So really wonder if the cost could be found out and other possible obstacles that it may well create. And I wonder if you can overcome those, if it's possible. Because I'd like to see people in the mall for as long as possible. And I don't know if that's a technological possibility.
Thanks, Councillor Melky. My vision would be that 2 hours is ample as a free service. There are providers in the town that you can buy more time off. I think 2 hours in the mall is a pretty generous offer.
My opinion is that 2 hours at this stage is a good start. And let's see how that works. I think there's complications if you make it unlimited free internet. One, we've just had huge debate over what ratepayers can afford, and we would have to find the money for it somehow. And I think that's an expense that we can't justify at this stage. And the complexity of saying, well, all the businesses in that area are now getting free internet, unlimited download, I think that's a very hard aspect to manage. So at this stage, I would agree with the Mayor. Let's see how we go with the 2 hours and monitor that.
I kind of am swaying both sides. I don't mean it like anyway. Snooking myself. Look, I think it would be worthwhile investigating anyway into terms of costings. and ability on restrictions if you could have unlimited access, but maybe limits to downloading capacity. So I think that we should maybe look at doing some further research in terms of maybe still providing them with internet access, just restricting the download capabilities.
Thanks, Councillor Pake. Councillor Heenan?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think that probably even an hour is even sufficient to get your emails just for the day. Otherwise, any more than that, people are probably downloading movies or something with a higher volume. It's a lot more cost in doing that, I presume. But I'm probably with Councillor Melky, you know, probably wouldn't be a dead idea to get the costs anyway for a 2-hour period. But I think an hour is probably plenty for most people that just want to get their emails.
Thanks, Councillor Heenan. Any other comments? Councillor Melky?
Just in relation to cost, the person that was telling me was fairly up to far more advanced than I was around about the technology, but from what I understood, it was about the music and the movies that they can download for free. So if you're able to deny that and just provide free internet, which gives you email and normal website stuff, I mean, if you want to find a shop as well, and I understand that 2 hours in the mall is plenty to find all the shops that you would possibly want, but that just came to my mind. All I'm saying is there are obviously scales involved with what you can download, and therefore costings will reflect that. So perhaps if we just simply provide the bare minimum for as long as possible, and yeah, sure, that it would be good to find out how much it actually does cost. And to me, doing everything we can to attract people and keep them in the mall is primary for me.
Thanks, Councillor Melky. I think you got enough out of that to come back with some answers. Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions without notice? All right. Is there any other business from councillors? This area will need a mover and a seconder.
Mr. Mayor? Or?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether this is another question, but I'm not sure the right time to do this. But because the Solar City is now folded up, is it time to give them... Just to say thank you very much for the 5 years that the 5 years that they've done a fantastic job for Alice Springs and Solar City. It's a pity that council and couldn't get another bit of funding for the next 2 or 3 years. But also thank you to the previous council, implemented and fought hard to get Solar City. And I think I'd just like to put a vote of thanks to the staff for the fantastic job they've done over the 5 years.
Thank you, Councillor Heenan. I think that's noted on there. Councillor Pake?
Oh, I'm in other business.
Okay. Well, I'll now move into other business.
Now, so I don't need someone to second me first.
Yeah, give us an idea of what you want to talk about and we'll find a seconder.
I just want to talk about the CBD and parking.
Certainly. Seconder for that. Councillor Melky, we'll now hear your story.
I just wanted to have a bit of a discussion around the current parking regime in the CBD. I'm not happy with the current parking regime. I think we could be doing something a bit more better to promote growth of our businesses and attracting people into the Central Business District. I've spoken to a few community members around parking in the community and how we could enhance and entice people to come into the CBD on the weekends. I think, it's beneficial in terms of growing the community that we look at this. So I'd like to put forward a motion tonight to look at repealing or disposing of the parking fees on Saturday mornings. I think that we should have that open to the public for free. I know that currently it is you're paying up until 12 o'clock and it's free in the afternoons, but I feel that the majority of our community are either running around with small children for sporting facilities or going into town for grocery shopping or retail shopping. So I think that in order to entice them to come into the community, that we should look at making that free. I don't know what other elected members feel about that tonight, but I'd like to put forward that motion.
Thanks, Councillor Paik. Anybody speak against the motion? Councillor Brown?
Well, whilst I obviously support Councillor Paik's idea of getting more people to use the CBD, I always have a worry with the freeing up of parking spaces on the morning, because obviously that then gets people to park there for a longer, greater length of time, and it may very well end up being taken up with staff, which is the reason that we charge for those parks in the first place. So I'm in favour of leaving the charges on until lunchtime. I'm quite happy to see them come off in the afternoons because, you know, there's a lower frequency of usage at that time. But in the mornings, I think if we did take away those charges, we'd just see all the car parks taken up with staff going to work.
Thanks, Councillor Brown. Somebody for the motion? Councillor Melky?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's a contradiction in terms, really, when you say we want to encourage folks to town so we can support the business, but we're not going to do it until after 12 when the business is closed, just in case your staff get a bit of a free park. And then, you know, to me, that's a bit strange, because if you encourage people to come to the city after 12 o'clock, what's actually open? Why are they coming into town? Just wondering. If it's tourists, they don't have any cars to worry about. So we're really focusing on the locals. And the fact that it's from 12 o'clock onwards, it's only a matter of 4 hours or whatever it is from, say, 6 a.m. or so, even 8 a.m. The fact is that there couldn't possibly be that much revenue that we're going to be losing out. And we would be seen as the good guy trying to help trade in the CBD that's clearly struggling at the moment in the mall and is going to need a real lift. And but just to suggest that we're worried about some staff getting away with some free parking, really that isn't, for me, a very strong argument. I think we as a council are doing everything we can with the mall redevelopment and all sorts of other discussion around promotion of the town, and this is yet another way. And there might be another argument that comes up about the signage and the costs of which to change. Again, I don't think that's overly expensive, and I would hope that elected members could support this motion. I certainly support this motion.
Thanks, Councillor Melky. Before I ask for somebody to speak against it, I'll go to the Acting CEO.
Thank you, Your Worship. If I could... sounding a bit like Rex now, urge some caution on this one. The strongest advocates for time parking are the businesses within the CBD. They are the ones that make the most noise, because they are the ones that lose business, because they do get people who just park in front of their businesses all day. The strongest objections we had to losing the Saturday afternoon parking was, in fact, the businesses along Hartley Street, who objected strenuously to the fact that they were going to have just cars parked in front of their businesses rather than people who would be actually attending their shop fronts, etc. So if I could suggest that if council is wishing to go down this line, that we, in fact, before we do anything, we do some community consultation with the businesses within the CBD, because certainly they have been the strongest advocates for continued paid parking during business hours.
Thanks, Mr. Acting CEO. Is there somebody to speak against it?
Probably if you want to speak against it, I wouldn't like to see this implemented at this stage, because I'd like to see, maybe as the Acting CEO there suggests, that we survey the businesses there, but also just like to get an idea of how many people are actually parking there at the moment with the time constraints. And then get some movement on, you know, with coming and goings of them, because if there's a if the cars can come in and they can know they can park there all morning or for 3 or 4 hours without having to move on, well, I think that as the Acting CEO said, that that's a deterrent for other people to move their vehicles on, so more people can come in. So I wouldn't like to see that at this stage until we get a idea of the businesses in the town.
Thanks, Councillor Henn. Is there anybody else to speak for it? Then
I would like to have the opportunity to close.
Well, first of all, we don't actually have the motion from you. It was just to discuss CBD parking.
Yeah.
So that's the motion. We've discussed it. Do you want to put the whole motion up that you wanted to remove parking?
Yes.
Okay, yep. So Your motion was that the council remove parking restrictions on Saturday morning within the CBD.
CBD district, yep.
Okay, thank you. That's been moved by Councillor Paik, second by Councillor Melky. Those in favour? Those against?
If we're against, though, that means we're still going to follow it up with a report from...
Well, we can put up another motion to ask for a report. The first step is a straight up, are we removing parking? That vote's done. I would now call, if you want to move to where we were before, that we seek some community consultation as suggested by the Acting CEO. Would you like to put that up, Councillor Paik?
Well, I'm happy to. However, I'm quite astonished and amazed, really, and would dispute the claim of the Acting CEO. It was actually those retailers who had approached me who were interested in making that parking free. Whether or not they are parking there and using those, they're still spending money in our CBD. So I'm quite astonished, really, that the Acting CEO has made that comment.
Okay, thank you. So the next motion is that the council seek community consultation with businesses in the CBD about removing parking restrictions on a Saturday. I think Councillor Kudrenko was happy to move that.
Yeah, I'm happy to move that.
A seconder for that, Councillor Paik? Those in favour? Any against?
In that report, can we also get a little bit of information on how much effort already exists from rangers in terms of their rostering and wages to patrol weekend parking, if that can just be included in that report at that time with the community consultation?
I certainly can, but we put on two rangers on the weekend. That wouldn't change whether there was parking or not. So
activities would be diverted elsewhere then?
They'd be doing other stuff.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Certainly.
Sorry.
Councillor Melky.
Can I just also request within that report also to identify potential income that has been generated, or don't call it income, fines that have been generated the last, say, 3 months?
I would counsel against that, because it's not why we put them on there looking for income. Rangers are in there to work to turn over the traffic. I think we get a blurred line between what is the income from this
process. One of the arguments has been used that it does generate revenue for the council, and I'd just like to make sure that has been raised by the Director of Community Services in that capacity, that it does generate revenue. And at this stage, I wonder how much revenue has been raised in the last 3 months for that period of time, if that's at all possible. Please.
All right. Over to you.
Yeah. Through the chair, that should be possible.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any other business? No? Thank you for that. Following on from that, matters for media attention be dealt with by the media present. The next ordinary... Oh, sorry, there is something else I have forgotten. I'll go back to it. Sorry to interrupt. I do another thing that happened in Canberra this week that I need to speak to you about. Minister Albanese announced what he called Regional Development Australia funding round five. What it is $150 million spread across local governments within Australia. These are very similar to the ones we got in the past, and I think off the top of my head, if I asked the director, is it 70,000 is our?
Through the chair, yes.
74,000 is what we're allowed to apply for. Has to be done immediately. We need a decision this evening. This has only just come from the last couple of days. I've asked the acting director to bring three suggestions to you this evening. We'll need to vote on these. Just for memory of people in the past, we got around $80,000, which we spent on the water bubblers in the mall. Another one we spent on shade, I think it was. So that's a figure. If I hand over now, because we need decision tonight. ...of Regional Australia Local Government Arts and Sports. So I'll hand over to the Acting CEO for his suggestions out of our wish list.
Thank you for that, Your Worship.
Oh, sorry, I need to get a seconder. I've moved that a seconder, Councillor Paik. Thank you.
Thank you. Originally, when we first got this, and we only received this a notification late on Thursday that there was going to be this grant program, and the conditions were sent through on Friday. So we do apologise for the lack of notice on this one. Our first thought was that the toilet facilities at the skate park might be something we could work on, until we read in the guidelines that toilets are specifically excluded from these this grant round, so we couldn't go down that line. So having a look at the various projects that Council has been considering, the three I'd like to put up at the moment for consideration are solar PV panels at the Aquatic and Leisure Centre, solar lighting along the river, and gym equipment along the river. We believe that with those three, that we could, one of those three, we could effectively use that $75,000, which sounds a lot, but when it comes to actually putting in infrastructure, isn't that much.
So if somebody could remove standing orders, we could discuss the removed. Councillor Paik seconded. Councillor Melky, those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Open up. Can I? All right, go for it, Councillor Kadenka. The discussion of these points, if I can just expand a little bit on them, the solar panels at the Aquatic and Leisure Centre, we're looking to invest about $200,000 is the aim to offset our power expenses at the pool into the future. This is panels with on the existing front entrance buildings, not on the roof of the Aquatic and Leisure Centre. 100 kilowatts, thank you. So that's $75,000 there. The solar lighting along the river would put us in the vicinity of how much each of those lights are given? We've got some good ones. Yeah, we've just about $3,000 to $4,000 at the piece. Okay. Yeah. So we could get 20-odd lights along the walkway of the river. The other one was the gym equipment, which was a recommendation brought to us a little while ago, which we looked at, and I think that figure was around 120. Oh, okay. So that was just to give you a take on them. The figure we've got, $74,000. Which one do you see the best benefit? And Councillor Kudrenko, I'll go first.
I'd just like to suggest that we consider the solar at the Aquatic Centre and the solar lighting along the river as the top two priorities. I think the gym equipment is excellent. I voted in favour for exploring this further last time, but I think it'd be better to wait for our open spaces report to come back before we start investing in that gym equipment along the river. So I would suggest perhaps we can leave that at the number three priority and talk about the other two at number two if people agree. I don't know.
So it'll only be to face and fasten the evening, it'll be one choice. So I think as each speaks, if they say what their choice is, we could frame something around that.
As long as people agree with to scrap the gym equipment. Yep.
Well, they may bring it up.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah.
So your preference, okay. Your preference is the Aquatic and Leisure Centre.
Or the other.
Can you come back to me? Can you come back to me?
Yes, certainly.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. Councillor Brown?
Before giving my preference, there is a sort of a new regime in regards to solar panels at the moment, and there is, I think, I don't know if a lot of people are aware, but there is an organisation that is installing solar on anybody's roof that wants it at this stage, and it may be something that council wants to look at before it goes to this stage, because basically you can pay off your solar panels for what you would normally pay out in electricity costs. So you can actually have solar installed pretty much on any building for pretty much what you've been paying out for your electricity, and you end up with ownership of those within 2 years. So I think that council may want to investigate those opportunities a little bit before we committed to the solar panels on the Aquatic Centre, because as I understand it, these organisations are prepared to power all of our sporting facilities.
Okay, so then if I can get back to another point, we need to make a decision tonight to apply to the federal government to fund something. They won't give us the money without a project.
Well, I would vote in favour of item two on that list, lighting on the riverside.
Okay, thank you. I've got Councillor Paik.
I will go with option two. I think it'll create a bit of a pathway for people to enter into the mall at night if they walk along the riverbank, or encourage people to utilise that. So I would go with option two. However, in saying that as well, I think it's not on there, but I think we should look at potentially water bubblers and so forth at the skate park and in some other parks. That was raised before as a key area, but unfortunately we didn't have the funding to do it. So I would maybe like to see that we'd research that as well.
Okay, I don't mean to be mean, but the time frame around this, it's a funny announcement, and we have to make a decision this evening. That's why I just asked them to put up something that they had ready. The bubblers, I don't have any costings on. So
yep, no, I'm aware of that, Mr. Mayor, but I did raise it at a previous meeting and got the support of council, so I think that the lesson learned here tonight is we should be prepared for situations like we're in.
Okay, so your vote would go to water bubblers?
My vote would go to
okay. That are on there tonight. However, I would like to see in future we do some research, so if we come into a predicament
okay,
like
no,
we are.
Sorry, yep, okay, we can do that. I've now got Councillor Melky.
I understand then that these are the three options that we've got costings on, so that's our limit really. So
well,
for
that,
me to
that
say
was the point I put up. Look, it's our decision. If you've got something else,
yeah.
If we end up with seven things tonight, then I'll get the casting vote. But I'm not being rude, but I just think
not taking as rude.
Have you got something else?
Yeah, I do. We have spoken about water bubblers, and also we've talked about having on Anzac Hill water bubblers, and we've talked about some shade and stuff along that side. So I think it's what you're talking, $80,000 grant.
$74,000.
That's really not that much. It's going to, towards the Anzac Hill operations, needs far more money. So I wonder if we can do that as a stage one. But given that I accept what you're saying, that these are shovel-ready ideas that you've got costings on, I would have to support the lighting on the riverbank. But having said that, I'd also like to acknowledge and support Councillor Pakes, that idea that we should be really ready for these things if that's what happens. If we had discussions in the past, which I know we've had talks about the bubblers quite some time ago, we should be ready to put them up. If that was here right now, I'd support the water bubblers for sure.
Thanks, Councillor Melky. Councillor Heenan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I support the number one, the solar panels on the aquatic and leisure centre. I know that probably we need to raise more money somehow to finalise that off, because $74,000 isn't quite enough there. But the reason was I'd like to cut our costs and the power, which is going up and up and up all the time. So so that was my first preference anyway, is the solar panels. That way then it gets a good opportunity to save money on the aquatic centre. But I'd like the one of the that's my first preference. Anyway, my second preference is the lighting on the riverbank, because that way, and probably try and encourage people, if there's enough lighting there, because the lighting on the riverbank was there when we looking at putting their gym equipment there. So lighting over the gym equipment, for people running or exercising early in the morning, there's an opportunity that there's a light over there, so it's safety issues as well. And also maybe to stop the vandalism that may occur. But my first preference would be the solar panels on the aquatic centre. And then we'd have to find some more money, of course, for the to do the whole lot for $200,000.
Thank you, Councillor Heenan. Councillor Kudrenko.
It's a tough decision, but I think I'd also agree with Councillor Heenan and go for the aquatic centre just to save costs on the power bill, which are felt by the ratepayers.
Okay, thank you. Can I just go back to Councillor Brown? In your discussion about the solar panels, are you suggesting they're getting cheaper and we'll get a lot more from now than we used to get, or are you suggesting somebody else will give them to us for nothing?
Well, they don't give them to you for nothing, but It's basically, you don't have to have any upfront costs. So they'll install solar cells to anybody's house or anybody's business, any council building, etc. They provide the finance, basically, but at no interest rate. They install the cells to your roof, and supposedly what you normally pay out in electricity costs pays them off on a domestic situation within 2 years and on a commercial within five. Yes. Yeah, that's right. You pay. Yes. So, for instance, on a house at the moment, which is a 4.5 kilowatt one, you pay a payment of about $278 a month, I think. So it works out, generally speaking, about the cost of your electricity, and they are prepared to power anything and put solar cells on any building at that cost.
Thank you. I've not come across that one.
Well, in light of that, if, you know, Councillor Brown's quite certain that that's something that council can access, if that's the case, then I think I would change my vote to the lighting along the river.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I go to the acting CEO.
Thank you, Your Worship. The figures for the photovoltaic array down at the Aquatic and Leisure Centre were provided by the Solar City, and their figures were that we would have a payback of just a little over 4 years. So works on the same principle. It just sounds like they're offering a term payment, so to speak, at the anticipated return on the electricity costs. So,
all right. Yeah. Thank you. What I'll do is there's two options there, and I'll ask for the show of hands, and we can go from there. Are you happy with that? So item three didn't get a run, even though you tried to get it up, Councillor Kudrenko. She didn't buy it. Option one, those in favour? Option two, those in favour? Option two it'll be. So all clear with that? Okay, then. So,
follow up pretty early on. I mean, Councillor Paik was the one who's just suggesting this, but I would agree with him. Can we have someone just follow up what Councillor Brown has suggested tonight pretty soon so we can get some feedback as a council about that?
For something differently, but we'll have to make an application to the federal government as to what we are going to spend our $74,000 on.
Oh, no, I appreciate that decision that we have just made now, but I think it's also well worth a very quick follow-up on that one.
Can we through committee, then? Can we revisit that in committee?
Sure.
All right.
Through the Chair, I've already promised a report on PV down at the Aquatic Leisure Centre for next month, so I'll include any information I can find on that in that report.
All right. Thank you. Councillor Melky?
Just as a follow-up on the referendum, if I can just tie these two things in. So this is funding that comes from federal government. In the case of the federal, the referendum not going ahead, losing on the referendum, this is the kind of thing that you're talking about in terms of it just doesn't become available anymore.
This is something that wouldn't be available to local governments.
Okay.
That's correct.
Thank you.
All right, then. Thank you for that. Now I'm pretty sure that I've clicked. No, one more. Thank you.
Thank you. Just to let all members know that we were successful in application for a grant for two relocatable CCTVs to be used to reduce antisocial behaviour in regards to taxi ranks and also stone throwing. And so that's a very good win. And those CCTVs are ultra-high definition and ultra-smart, and they actually might be able to help us with some of our issues with regards to what's happening with regards to parking, etc., because they have capabilities that dwarfs what you could possibly imagine a camera can do nowadays. So that's good.
Are you saying that we would be monitoring those relocatable CCTVs, or they're not already linked to the system which gets viewed by people in Darwin?
They're not monitored via the system in Darwin. What they do is you program them with whatever parameters you wish to do. So, for instance, if we were looking at, say, rock throwing at Anzac Hill, they would be installed, and then you would set them up so they had boundaries, so that if anybody left the footpath and started to go up any of the hill, etc., that would register as an aberration, and that would then call the contact person which may be the police. They're very interested in this technology, in borrowing it from us for that, or it may be council, and it sends through to whatever smartphone you have with you, or iPad or whatever, low-def video of what's happening. And so you can either say, no, that's just a rabbit, or we've got an issue there and act accordingly. So it's like having somebody up there, but the person is only really there when things happen that are out of the ordinary.
So who will be monitoring and having access to that footage?
That would be determined with regards to what the issue is and where it is and who wants to be basically involved in that.
But I don't understand at all who that will be now.
If we were using it in relation to illegal parking, we would do it. If the police wanted to use it in relation
to...
So it
would be like the rangers or the something like that.
Yeah.
So do they require training on Privacy Act and things like that in relation to surveillance?
There is
and
no
we have
issues
a protocol?
With that in a public place, so there are no requirements for that. In fact, this system is, in fact, you may not know it, every time you've been walking up Hartley Street, this system is already in place being utilised by a private organisation.
Private organisation? Who?
Landlords.
Landlords? Yeah.
Sorry, before I go to Councillor Melky, can I have somebody take me back into standing orders, been pointed out to me by Jessica? Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Heenan. Those in favour, thank you. Councillor Melky?
I was actually just going to talk about those cameras. So,
yes, sure.
In the instant that you suggest something registers as an aberration, so if someone's doing donuts with their vehicle in the car park of, say, Anzac Hill, lower car park, which is a common occurrence, or leaving all their rubbish behind, all that sort of thing, could that be? How can that be picked up if they're not necessarily out of the boundary as such?
Probably or possibly something like that may not be. I'm not completely au fait with all the capabilities of the system. So some things obviously could occur and some things may be only afterwards. But if you're looking at, say, a burnout, you know there was a burnout, you'd go back to the footage. And being an ultra-high def, that number plate would be obvious to everyone.
Look, I think the acting CEO is pointing out the fact that an application has been successful, and I'm sure we'll have more discussion around this product within committee meetings going forward.
Before they're implemented?
The first step will be the funding agreement will be done. Then there will be decisions around that. It's just governments, like always, at this time of year, honouring some of the applications, aren't they? Is that the correct terminology? This one went in when?
6 to 8 years ago.
Okay.
So will we hear more about these before they're implemented?
Yes. I can certainly do a report which details everything and gives you all the specs and stuff, yeah.
Councillor Melky?
Just a quick one. NTG government funding? NTG?
Sorry?
Was it federal or territory government funding?
I'm pretty sure it was federal funding.
Okay, thank you. Next ordinary meeting, 29th of July, here in this chamber at 6 o'clock, following our 5:30 open forum. There being no other business, may I ask for a motion to adjourn to a confidential section. Councillor Melky seconded. Councillor Paik, those in favour. Thanks very much.